This is Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times Republic, dated February 29, 2024. Happy Leap Day, everyone. We'll begin on the front page with the headline, Manufacturer Finalizing Purchase of Old UARCO Building in Watsika. A new manufacturing business is finalizing plans to move into the old UARCO Building in Watsika. Mayor John Allhands made that announcement at the February 27 City Council meeting. Allhands said, "The potential new owner told me we can. It looks like the UARCO building is going to be purchased. At this time, they were 95% done last week, but it came down to some certificates of insurance they had to get." The company, Alliance Polysax, could employ as many as 60 people, he said. "It's going to be interwoven plastic bags. It's going to take the place of heavy paper sacks for sacrete and farm seed." Allhands said the company will want to work with local contractors and other local businesses. "This is going to be some of the only such technology in the state, is what I'm told. They have a 3-year agreement with the manufacturer of equipment, which is from Austria." On the company's website, it lists Watsika as its manufacturing facility in the United States with a capacity of 120 million bags per year. It says the company specializes and delivers polypropylene block bottom bags through cutting-edge technology with unparalleled quality for all kinds of material. Next, Watsika water sewer rates to see increase in May and the next 5 years. Watsika residents will see an increase in their water sewer rates at the beginning of May. Some city officials say that the increase, which was approved for the next 5 years, will help offset cost of living increases seen as they run the facilities. Other officials say residents are being overtaxed. The 3.5% increase will start May 1 and will do so each year for the 5-year period. The Watsika City Council voted for the increase at the February 27 meeting by a vote of 6-2, with Alderwoman Jenny DeLar and Alderman Scott Anderson voting no. The vote came during discussion of Ordinance 2707, amending Title 10, Water and Sewer Chapter 4, Combined Water Works and Sewerage System Rates and Charges. The raise is for residential and commercial users. Alderman Scott Anderson said, "The way this was described was because of cost of living increases, cost of material increases that we've got no choice. Otherwise, we're going to end up pushing it off and raising everything up like 15%. I'd normally be against anything like this, but since it is infrastructure, I don't feel we can kick the can down the road and expect everybody to pay a 10% or 15% increase in the future." DeLar asked where the 3.5% came from. Mercier said the number was, quote, "put out there," end quote. "It was a number that was a lot less than what inflation was going to be, and that it was kind of keeping up with the cost in the next 4 years. The 3% is not even going to keep up with our material costs," he said, noting that they don't want to make the increase 10 or 12% a year. Inflation is going to be that high. DeLar said, "We have to consider, we are taxing, and I get it, we need it for infrastructure, and I understand that, but we have taxed people to death in other areas. Where are they going to get this money? Now we're increasing this. We need to look at backing down on some other areas where it's not an absolute necessity. This, it may be, but I don't know that we've looked at the figures correctly or taken the time to analyze it. I just want to throw that forward. We've taxed people to absolute last step we can on the telecommunication. So what's the next thing we're going to do when this isn't enough? Where else are we going to get it from the people? That's my only concern. We're putting it on the backs of our residents and our business owners. It isn't quite fair. It might not pertain to this necessarily, but in general, I don't know how people can afford to keep their electric running, their water running, and all these other things. Marcier said, according to the ordinance, it looks like it's going to be 35 cents per 1,000 gallons per year. Delar asked about those who don't use even the minimum amount that is billed. Have we considered doing any reductions in that, or are we just going to keep adding to theirs as well? She asked. Marcier said the issue has been discussed many times. Mayor John Allhands said there was discussion about doing rate studies, but it was found that doing such would cost about $25,000. He said he had asked Keith Mulholland of Robinson Engineering about projects that had been done and what they cost. Mulholland said in the last 5 years there have been about $3.28 million in projects, including the Fairman Avenue lift station, backup generators at Wells 10 and 11, and Mulberry lift station, wastewater treatment plant upgrades, including the oxidation ditch, North Street water main project, well 11 and 4 test wells, well 6 upgrades that increase production at the well and improve the building. The water rates also cover the water main breaks, meter changes, the radio reeds being installed, and other projects and the engineering that goes with it. Mulholland said people are using less water. There are high-efficiency washers, faucets, and other appliances, which also affects the revenue. He said some companies put in a flat fee before any usage is applied to the building. He also noted that about 37% of the sanitary system is 100 years old, 34% is newer. Average water mains are 60 years old. He said to maintain the system and keep it at the 100-year maintenance lifespan, the city needs to replace about 1% a year. Public Works Director Lauren Grosvenor said in reality the 100-year lifespan doesn't exist. He said the pipes that have been dug up since he started in with the department have not been installed properly and had to be fixed. Grosvenor said these costs don't even cover all the operational and maintenance and equipment costs we've incurred since we took the system back over. There's complaints about the amount of vehicles we have, but people forget we got rid of ERH, so every vehicle ERH had in town, we had to replace with our own vehicles, our own guys, our own tools. The city spent a lot of money to take that back in-house, which was a smart move, but we're playing catch-up. I think you guys did a rate increase in the last 5 years to do a partial catch-up from the lack of increases in the last 20. If we kick the can down the road further, we're going to see another big increase, like Scott said. 5 years from now, there might be a 30% increase because we are playing catch-up. If we're not spending the money now, 5 years from now, inflation is going to be that much more for material pipe replacement. So trying to get some of these projects in the works and the work done now is going to save 5, 10, 15% in the next 5 years. We've got to think about inflation in the future if we keep kicking some of this down the road. It's just going to cost us more money in the long run. I've seen that time and time again where projects are delayed and you end up spending more money in the future. Grosvenor said there is also a large stormwater system that a lot of funds have paid for. Unfortunately, our infrastructure was built incorrectly because that's just how systems were built 50 or 60 years ago. They treated stormwater. They didn't look at it the way things are now with the EPA. The EPA doesn't want stormwater going into your wastewater treatment plant. They don't want you to treat it. It is an additional cost to treat that's a burden to the city in the treatment plant because it backs up your collection system. The city is spending a lot of money separating the storm and sanitary sewers, so we've got to keep that in mind as well. It's not just sanitary. We have a stormwater collection system to take care of and maintain as well, and there are no fees that I'm aware of for stormwater. I think it's just rolled into the sanitary. Some places have an additional stormwater fee that we don't have. We have to keep that in mind. All Hands said a rate survey that was done several years ago by a Champaign firm, Watsika, was 53rd out of 83 on combining costs. He said the city is probably middle of the road now. I'm just looking at comparisons, he said. All Hands said the water and sewer department is really a startup business that began about 5 years ago. Not only is it a startup business that you guys incurred a lot of costs to start with equipment and manpower, but you're playing catch up with 20 years that were neglected from the contract company that took care of Watsika. It's a combination of issues there. He noted, too, that the water and sewer has the same utility costs that residents and businesses have. All Hands said, too, that if a council member opposed to the only option that was offered, we would certainly listen to any feasible alternatives they may have to offer. Item next, Ward honored for 43 years with CIFPD. Jim Ward has resigned from service with the Crescent Iroquois Fire Protection District after 43 years of service. His service was commemorated at a February meeting of the department, during which Fire Chief Scott Dirks presented him with a plaque. Ward has lived in Crescent City 56 years, having served as mayor of the small town 28 of those years. During his time with the CIFPD, he held the position of secretary for several years, was treasurer, quote, quite a few years, and served in the duo position of secretary-treasurer, quote, for a while. When asked about memorable calls, Ward said there have been a few fatalities over the years. I always remember those. He reflected on finding a body in a burned-out house one time and said there were several pretty bad house fires over the years. During his time, he served under several chiefs, including Larry Holden, Richard Gockin, I served under him the longest, Ward said, Dean Storm, Scott Schroeder, and Scott Dirks. He commented on Dirks, he's a wonderful chief, he's doing a heck of a job. Ward, Gockin, and Holden will all be reaching milestone birthdays this year, as they are the same age. Ward wanted to mention the fire department and the Crescent Iroquois EMS are two separate entities, though they do work closely with each other. He made special mention of Tim McLean, who works with the EMS department, as, in Ward's opinion, he's doing a good job with the ambulance. Item next, Iroquois County women contributing to success of the area. The article begins with this editor's note. March is Women's History Month. Quoting from the Women's History Month website, these proclamations celebrate the contributions women have made to the United States and recognize the specific achievements women have made over the course of American history in a variety of fields. In honor of the many women who contribute to the Iroquois County community, the Times Republic will highlight six local women who work in a variety of ways for the betterment of the area. The first is Nita Double, who has volunteered with 4-H for many years, as well as working with fire and police departments. Whether it is through the emergency response field, working with area youth, or helping to run the family farm, Nita Double has made volunteering and helping her community a priority. I was born and raised in Iroquois County. I've only been away from Iroquois County for 3 years when I went off to college, so Iroquois County is definitely important to me. I've always lived in the Watsika-Sheldon area, she said. I like to volunteer and I like to help out, especially when kids are involved. So I'm very, very involved in the 4-H program and volunteering with it. I'm president of the Ford Iroquois 4-H Foundation, and we do a lot of activities. Double said the foundation conducts the 4-H auction, where the money raised helps the kids with workshops and other activities. The foundation also contacts sponsors who donate funds for the awards given each year. I enjoy doing that kind of work, especially being retired. it definitely gives me something to do. And I can kind of do it on my time, so I don't have a scheduled 8 to 5 Monday through Friday I have to do. A couple of years ago, she was asked by the Watseka City Council to chair the city's police commission. I definitely miss working with the first responders, but I really don't miss all the political things that went on. If it wasn't for that, I'd probably still be working. I decided to take that position to get back to working with the first responders. Double was the 911 coordinator and director of ICOM for many years. She worked for the county for 38 years total. She said that is maybe not always helping kids, but helping people. That's something I definitely like. If I can help somebody out, I enjoy doing it. Double lives on the family farm. I live on my grandparents' farm. My dad was an only child, and he inherited that farm. My mother fell and broke her leg 7 years ago. When that happened, she handed everything as far as the responsibilities of farming to me. We have a great guy that farms for us, Brian Bowman, who is outstanding. We do 50-50 with him, so I'm still, with my mom's assistance, helping with the day-to-day operation of the farm and keeping the buildings up. They raise beans and corn on the farm. I come from a livestock family. My dad and my grandfather both raised Angus cattle. We had 80 to 100 head of cattle. We also raised hogs. That fluctuated depending on if it's baby pig season. We'd have between 200 and 300 hogs, and then we had a horse. The family is also a 4-H family. My mom was involved in 4-H. I was involved in 4-H. My son was involved in 4-H. Once I came back from college, I was immediately asked to be a 4-H leader, and I did that for 22 years. At that time, I was trying to get 911 up and running, so I quit being a 4-H leader. But I've been unit council, that's the head council, obviously, the 4-H Foundation, and the youth council. Double said being involved in 4-H gives youths a lot of skills. They learn to take responsibility for a project. And with 4-H, sometimes a family event, where you'll find that a lot of projects that the kids take to the fair, whether it be livestock or general projects, a majority of them are a family that has put them together and made the project happen. It's exciting to see the kids win, whether it's a woodworking project or visual arts project or a livestock project. It's fun to see all their time that they've put into the project. Some of the kids in the general project are outstanding on what they bring to the fair. I think they learn a lot from that. Responsibility and working together as a team. All the things that kids definitely need nowadays. Double is now a volunteer with 4-H and also is an assistant superintendent in the swine barn at the fair. I do a lot to help with that as far as awards and the actual setup of it. Double also conducted Camp 911 for a number of years. That program had emergency response agencies set up at each school in the county and provide safety information and activities for elementary age students. It was conducted for 13 years, and Double said Farm Bureau is actually going to resurrect the program in the future, though it might not be exactly as it once was. Double said she feels volunteering is good for everyone to do. There's no I in team, she said. Being able to do teamwork and bringing ideas together, that's what I like about our foundation group. Everybody has ideas, and we're able to sit down and put it all together. I think that's what volunteers are good for. I hate to see that today volunteers are few and far between. We've had 4-H clubs that have folded because nobody in that area wanted to come forth to be able to volunteer to be able to take those clubs over. 4-H isn't the only thing that has suffered from that. That's been all the way around. I just don't think that people understand that volunteering is very important and it makes a lot of things happen. I think Iroquois County is a great farming community, and I think it is important that people do look into volunteering, because I feel that volunteering in different departments, whether it be on your local fire department or at an organization that you may be involved in or would like to be involved in, it just takes a phone call to be able to make it. I think Iroquois County, since we're not a large city, we're lucky we don't have to be afraid to see who the neighbor is next door or to walk down the street. We are lucky to have that freedom of being able to come and go as we please and not be afraid. It's a safe community. Item next, judge taking request for new trial under advisement for Watseka man. Sentencing of a Watseka man found guilty by a jury in October of criminal sexual assault has been continued until April as a judge takes a motion for a new trial under advisement. Judge Michael Sable heard from Jason D. Marr's lawyer, Tracy L. Harkins, and Iroquois County State's Attorney James Devine on February 22nd about the matter. Mars was convicted October 18 of 6 counts of criminal sexual assault of a family member less than 18. The assaults were reported in the trial as having occurred from May to July of 2021. The victim, referred to as KJ, testified during the trial and testified about what happened to her. Mars did not take the stand. The jury deliberated 3.5 hours before returning guilty verdicts on all 6 counts. At the heart of the motion for a new trial is the victim's use of a comfort doll when she testified. Devine said her use of the item had been brought up during the trial, and it was determined that it was not prejudicial at that time. The motion for a new trial was made again after the trial, and the comfort doll was again named as prejudicial to the defendant. Devine said the state's argument is that there is no proof that it is prejudicial against the defendant. Sable will hear both sides and said he will take it under advisement until the April 3 hearing at 1:30 p.m. Item next, Museum Open Catalog Homes Program, Sunday. This Sunday, March 3, from 1 to 3 p.m., the Old Courthouse Museum, 103 West Cherry, Watseka, will be open to the public. Additionally, at 1:30 p.m., author, researcher, and lecturer Rebecca Hunter will present a program on catalog homes in the courtroom. The program is about mail-order homes such as Sears homes and other house kits. Hunter of Elgin became fascinated with mail-order homes in 1996. She's currently studying kit homes and agricultural buildings marketed from 1906 to 1982 by several companies. She sought these buildings throughout Illinois, Wisconsin, and Michigan, among other states. She's located mail-order buildings in more than 400 Illinois municipalities and in 29 other states. These homes were usually not distinctive architectural designs, but copies of the most popular styles. The house designs were standardized to reduce waste in materials. However, customers were encouraged to personalize their order by moving windows or doors, adding porches, fireplace, sunrooms, window boxes, trellises, or built-in cabinetry, and selecting exterior finish and colors. The public is cordially invited to come view all the new and updated displays throughout the museum. The museum, supported by the Iroquois County Historical Society, is a great place to learn about the history of the townships, communities, and people who had a part in settling Iroquois County. As a nonprofit organization, the program is free to attend, but donations are always welcome as they are used to help with the cost of maintaining the museum. Item next, Watseka Warrior Mathletes compete at regional event. The Watseka Warrior Mathletes competed at the 48th Annual Parkland ICTM Regional Math Competition this past weekend at Parkland College in Champaign, according to information from Coach Nick Harvey. The two-person junior-senior team, Maya Machev and Skylet Buwalda tied for second place. In addition, Machev and Buwalda tied for second place in the junior-senior eight-person team. Students also took individual tests in geometry and algebra, too, and competed in a two-person freshman-sophomore team, along with a freshman-sophomore eight-person team. Harvey said in an email, the students were very excited to compete against the larger schools and placed extremely well. We will find out in March if we make it to state at ISU in April again. I am very proud of my mathletes. Next, we have a summary of the meeting of the Crescent Iroquois School Board. Steve Massey, president, called the February 26th meeting of the Crescent Iroquois Community Unit School District No. 249 to order at 7 p.m. All present recited the Pledge of Allegiance. Board Secretary Jody Niebuhr took roll call with the following present: Christy Pfeiffer, Massey, Lee Medina, Becky Dirks, Tim Coleman, and Niebuhr. Also present was Principal Superintendent Lucas Schroeder. Schroeder brought up the use of Eureka Math for fiscal year 25, noting he would have purchase options for the curriculum at the next meeting. During the time of open comments, guest Judy Munsterman, a former teacher with the district, noted she's running for an Iroquois County Board seat for District 2. For the superintendent's portion of the administrative report, Schroeder said John Carter, custodian at Crescent City Grade School, is putting together a plan for the summer maintenance. There's a leak in the roof, but the warranty is being looked into. At the start of the next school year, there will be a brand new bus added to the fleet. The rest of the ESSER grant funds will be used as the doors and windows project is finished. For the principal's portion of the administrative report, enrollment at CCGS is 52, and enrollment for grades 6 through 12 is at 53. The January students of the month were Ryan Matthews, 1st grade, and Henry Bull, 4th grade. A scholastic book fair should take place sometime in the second week of March. A science assembly has been arranged for Friday, March 8. The board then approved the following: minutes of the regular meeting conducted January 29, the treasurer's report dated January 31, the payment of bills dated February 26, the impressed fund and petty cash reports of January 31, leaving closed minutes closed, and destruction of audio tapes older than 18 months. In other action, the board approved a memoration of understanding with Heather Girth for the next school year, approved the 2024-25 school calendar as presented, approved a three-year bus lease with Midwest Transit Equipment, Inc., and approved a three-year contract with QNS. After a brief executive session, the board reconvened and adjourned until their next meeting at 7 p.m. Monday, March 18, at CCGS. This has been Terry Bush with the Iroquois County Times-Republic for Leap Day, February 29, 2024. I look forward to reading with you again next week.